Jay Pizzy, Mosier on the beat. Look at my team, ay. Look at the ring, whoa. See what I mean, ay. You see what I mean? Look at my team, look at the ring, everything. This is a dream, all but a dream. This ain't a dream, I am a fiend for the cream, go. DTC and I beat these teams and it make me feel alright.
Alright.
DTC and I beat these teams and it make me feel alright.
Alright.
See, I calculate. Yeah, y'all just palpitate. Whoa, if you don't calculate, get it? Get it? Calculate. Lady Justice is illustrious. I just love this. I can put this in this function and it turns up into something. And that something came from nothing. And I sold it for a button. Now I got this lovely lump sum. Guess I'll burn these bumps like buzzing, bro.
Welcome to the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast, a show dedicated to Dynasty fantasy football trades and player values, with your hosts, John Paul Hurley and Izzy Elkafoss.
This ain't a dream, I am a fiend.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast. This is episode number 205. I'm your host, John Paul Hurley. We're going to do a really quick, fun, impromptu segment. I'm going to Google something really quick. On this day in Dynasty history, in 1974, the NFL moves the goalposts and adopts a sudden death playoff.
All right.
Mm. That's actually pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
Mm.
On this day in 1969, Darren Woodson, NFL safety, Dallas Cowboys, was born.
Wow. Darren, Hall of Famer.
None of the others are extremely irrelevant.
Wait, is Darren is?
No.
Rod is.
Rod is.
Yeah.
Darren was still a good player, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all of the others that were born on this day were was not quite as relevant players.
Which reminds me, if you want to go back like a historic thing. So on that same team, Izzy, so he was a part of the early 90s Cowboys that have the three rings. Robert Jones was on that team. And that is Zay Jones's dad.
And Mac Jones's uncle.
And do you remember when me and when I had the anti-Zay Jones stuff when he was coming out?
Yeah.
And his dad was debating with me. And then I asked him where he had his son ranked among wide receivers, and he laughed.
Say whatever you want about Zay Jones, but he has the coolest gif in NFL history of getting up after catching a touchdown. I don't know if he caught it or not, but it was
he's done it multiple times, though, where he just floats back up.
It's freaky. For those of you that are listening that may not know what I'm talking about, just Google Zay Jones getting up, and it's like the coolest thing I've ever seen. I've been practicing every day for 2 years trying to do it, and I just
you gotta have a ridiculous core for that.
Yeah, probably what it is.
Yeah,
the momentum of sliding too.
Can you post a video of you trying it maybe tomorrow onto Twitter?
I'm gonna do that for the DTC guys, Izzy, myself, Mosier are going to the Fantasy Football Expo in July this year in Canton, Ohio. So that's what I'm training for.
Are you guys going to do any other events when you're there, like the 40, and to see how people do?
Honestly, I am going to, I'm giving out free DTC subscriptions for anybody who can throw a football farther than me.
Well, what's your distance? What's your max?
30, I think 70, 75.
30?
70, 75. Wow. My max.
He's lying.
No, I'm not. Izzy, you know that. You know I'm not.
You can't
lying.
Throw 70 yards, dude. You can throw it, but you can't throw 70 yards.
I can throw 70 yards.
No, you can't.
You'll see. You can try to beat me. I'll give you a subscription if you win.
I can't. Well, I know I can't throw 70 yards.
My max, I think, is 63. That was a really windy day with the wind.
Nice. And the bounce.
No bounce. In the air.
It's like a drive, a long drive competition.
An NFL a good NFL quarterback's in the 60s.
No, they're more than that.
Yes, no, they're not. Have you never seen those quarterback competitions back during the Pro Bowls? They were maxing out in the 60s. And Hurley here can blow that out of the water, apparently.
Oh, easily, yep. Those guys are idiots.
So, you know what's really interesting though, with that is a lot of times people, they dip their shoulder, their elbow down, and they kind of throw from a low angle. And really, it's almost better if you stay on top of the ball.
Okay, so I'm Googling this, Izzy, because I trust Google more than Izzy. How far can quarterbacks throw? It says, I think they interviewed Mahomes. Mahomes thinks he can get anywhere from 80 to 83 yards.
Okay, so that's Mahomes. So let's think about it.
Allen says he can do 75 to 80 during a game, so full pads. How far can QB
throw? It says NFL quarterbacks are expected to make throws of approximately 60 yards.
Well, that's what they're expected. So, that's not like with a full wind up you know, and like,
do you not remember the, if you were,
I'm not under pressure.
Do you know what I'm talking about those? Seconds.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Remember, yeah. Remember when when they'd have the ball,
like Aaron Brooks and all of that, they were maxing out at 65.
Aaron Brooks. So underrated. Michael Vick's cousin. I used him in Madden all the time, man.
I guess it remains to be seen. We'll have to find a football field space for me to show you my.
What's your max, Izzy? What can you throw?
I could probably get you 50
feet.
Centimeters. And I don't have a bad arm. I definitely can't throw a 60. I definitely can't throw a 70.
I will. Maybe I'll tame my expectations, and I will be between 60 and 70 easily.
Maybe I can maybe see you hitting 60.
Right. You know, something that's interesting with all of this, though, is with COVID. So my season just ended, you know, because if people don't know, I coach football. We had a 5-game season. My boys won on Friday, which is good. We're 4-1 on the year, which is sad because that's a playoff team. But with COVID, there's certain rules that are different than in past years. So quarterbacks can't lick their fingers or their hands to get a grip. And that's part of, a lot of people don't know, but like you have some days when you have more moisture in your fingers, so you can have a really grippy day, and some days you don't have a grippy day. So then you would have to spit or whatever else. And so, because you can't do that with COVID, I've had to wet a towel. And so we'll have like this damp towel all the time, and he'd have to come over, you know what I mean, to kind of help out. But that's a big influence here on the distance. You have to make sure you have that grippiness. So Hurley, to help yourself out, if you're in that situation, and so you don't get flagged for spitting on your fingers, you know what I mean? Because of COVID, get a little damp towel. That would help.
And
so
I always deflate the ball slightly too before go into a game.
I found it for you guys. So in 2003 quarterback challenge, Tom Brady, 62 yards, Jeff Blake, 61, Mark Brunell, 61, 2004, Carson Palmer, 65, Leftwich, 65, Brunell and DeHolm, 63. And then in 2005, they must have had some wind behind them. DeHolm hit 71, Palmer at 72. Left, which hit 73.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to get 70.
I think you think.
Maybe I'm going to work out. I'm going to work on my Zay Jones stand up and my long distance throw. We'll see what I can do.
All right, this is going to be exciting stuff.
Super pumped. Anyway, we got sidetracked a little bit there, but I'm your host, JP. Joining me is Nick and Izzy. What's up, you guys? Welcome to the 205 here. This is awesome. 205 area code. We're doing this again.
I think I might know this one.
All right, give me your best guess. Your very best. I'm gonna tell you right now you don't know it.
Okay, that I don't.
It's an Alabama area code.
No, I don't know it.
And it includes areas such as Birmingham and Tuscaloosa, Fayetteville, Hamilton, Jasper.
Roll Tide.
I could go on. Shout out to the 205 people joining us from Alabama. Welcome to the show. We apologize for our northerner accents. I'm sure we sound a little bit silly compared to what you're used to hearing. So yeah. I'll put that out there. Oh yeah,
you betcha.
And Waylon, you're like you got that Wisconsin Illinois accent thing going on.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so humid. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Those days you can just slip right out of bed, you know?
Don't you know?
Slide. Okay, so we got some cool stuff. This is draft week. This is one of the most exciting times of year for most Dynasty people, including myself. I am jacked. And we got some cool stuff to talk about. So this is a fun week to kind of go through some of these things. We want to talk about, in your leagues, when is a great time to draft a quarterback? Quarterback seems to be the center of the attention because we have a lot to choose from. In fact, before the podcast started, we were just chatting. Waylon asked Izzy, like, when's the last time we had a draft where there was this many options? 5 quarterbacks that could conceivably go in the first round in super flex drafts and obviously early and regular 1 quarterback leagues. But, and I think the last time could have been the Baker. Izzy, was it? It was Baker, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson.
Rosen, Darnold.
Yeah, those other two are pretty easy to forget about. But, you know, those were 5 options that were consensus first rounders in super flex league. So it's been a couple years, it's been a bit, so like we want to talk about when is the good time to draft them in your different league settings. So to kick it off, maybe I'll start with Waylon. So let's say I'm going to give you guys scenarios and you guys got to tell me like exactly what you'd be doing, because I'm assuming each of you have teams in different various stages. So let's say you're in a one quarterback draft, which I think you're in one right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're in a one quarterback rookie draft. Let's say you don't already have a stud at quarterback. At what point are you looking? Obviously, like, I think we can dismiss T-Law. Actually, we can't dismiss it in a one quarterback. Mm-hmm. How early are you drafting somebody like Trevor Lawrence?
So here's the part that I think is interesting that people need to think about is you need to look at your scoring. Because in what I do with an MFL or whatever format, I would look at the previous year's scoring, maybe the 2-3 years before that. And you need to see how certain positions scored in this certain league, which will remain anonymous because I play under an alias. I do that often, by the way, so I don't get sniped. Is quarterbacks are, you know, generally the highest scorers, but sometimes the point differentials are there and people don't think about it. So for example, Mahomes and Allen and Rodgers and Kyler and, you know, Russell Wilson, those are the top guys. They scored between 200 and 175 more points than Derrick Henry. That's so significant that if you don't have a stud quarterback, you're already at a disadvantage, even in a one quarterback league. So what I would do, and normally I wouldn't do this, but in that type of a one quarterback league, I would draft Trevor Lawrence or my quarterback of choice, I would assume it'd be Lawrence, after the for sure guys that I like are gone. And so like in a league like this, I would say probably 109, I might start thinking about Trevor Lawrence.
So two follow-up questions. In the whole theme of robbing Peter to pay Paul, you mentioned like the difference between a stud quarterback and Derrick Henry. What do you think the difference is between stud quarterbacks and like the next tier? So like, what if you took a next tier guy and a stud running back? I wonder how like things balance out, you know?
Yeah, in terms of points per game there, I would say it's about 7 points per game difference. And then the running back from that stud quarterback is like 14 points.
Okay, wow. Significant.
Mm-hmm. And that's why you have to look at your scoring. You can't just say, oh, one quarterback league, it's always going to be this. Look at what your scoring is.
Gotcha. And my second follow-up question is, where did T-Law actually go in the draft that you're doing right now?
So what's interesting is I have a stud quarterback in that league, so I didn't need him, but I had the 109 and decided not to take Trevor Lawrence.
Wow,
and he went to pick after me. He went 110.
12-team super flex, or 12-team one quarterback league, so he went 110. Good to know. So Izzy, over to you on the same thing. So like a 12-team one quarterback league, at what point are you drafting Trevor Lawrence?
I agree and disagree with Nick a little bit. There's so many quarterbacks that can get me that many points, so I probably wouldn't even draft a quarterback in the first round. I'd probably just fade it. I'd rather just, instead of paying for Trevor Lawrence at 110, I would just try to acquire somebody's backup quarterback for much cheaper than that, because there's going to be 12 to 18 viable quarterbacks, and not every single one of those is going to start in your one quarterback league. And I've just had success being able to go after the, like, look at, for instance, let's look at the tier of the Tannehills and the Staffords. You can get those guys for mid to late seconds in some cases. So I'd rather just lock those guys in and get those points instead of using a first round pick. But I get it. It's back into the first round. I don't hate it. It's just in my philosophy, I'd rather just pay the second.
Yeah, but like,
for those.
So the point is, how many championship teams in that format have Stafford or Tannehill at the helm?
I don't know. I don't play in one quarterback. It's been a while. But when I did play in one quarterbacks league, no, I don't anymore.
But there is one. Our home league is converting now, but like up to this point has always been one quarterback.
Yeah, that's true. We'd have to go back and look, but I don't think the quarterback. Well, another thing too, our league has 6 points for quarterbacks, and we get a 5-point bonus for 300 yards. So it's a little bit more weighting to quarterbacks. But in a regular one quarterback league, I think you can absolutely win a title with Tannehill or Stafford if you have the right core.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, the difference to me is this. So I don't disagree with you. I've done that before. I mean, but I have to have a really good team around. Is you're waiting a half a round to a round maybe to go from a potential stud quarterback to a low end QB one, maybe high end QB two, which in this year's draft. So look at the players around there. If we just stuck with, like, let's say wide receivers, okay, you're going from a Rondale Moore type, Elijah Moore, a Tony,
I don't think so.
At 110,
oh, yeah,
111, 112,
yeah.
Okay, to Dyami Brown, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Tylan Wallace, Seth Williams.
Yeah, what else are you going to do?
It's not a huge drop-off. That's why, yeah, I'm like...
I guess in this year, maybe.
That's why this
or
year...
Or Bateman. Did Bateman last that long or no?
No, not in one quarterback.
No, Bateman's a top 8 pick, for sure.
Where did he go in your draft?
In this draft, I had the 1-9, like I said. Devonta Smith went 1-8. I thought he was going to fall to me. Bateman went 107. And obviously, okay. Waddle, the 3 running backs.
Maybe Lawrence is different because he's kind of the guy that people even may overvalue in one quarterback league. But my experience with rookie drafts is I always try to make sure that as soon as I take the pick off the lot, I'm not losing value. Or not necessarily losing value, but like in Superflex leagues, once you take the quarterback off the lot, they gain value, which is why I like taking quarterbacks in Superflex leagues. Mm-hmm. With one quarterback leagues, once you take that quarterback, most people aren't interested. They already have them. Mm-hmm. So even if they go off, they already have a quarterback. There's 10 to 12 really good quarterbacks right now in Dynasty. So there's likelihood that people aren't in need of a top-end quarterback. They already have one. So they're not going to pay for it. So you'd be drafting Lawrence or drafting a quarterback with the expectation that you're not going to be able to move this player for what you paid for, because somebody already has an asset that they can fill in, which with the quarterback, with wide receivers and running backs in one quarterback leagues, there's always a need for those guys. If they're semi-successful, there's always going to be a place for them in trade.
Where's your line? Is it 112 then? Or
I think for Lawrence, I think 110 is fine. Because he is the guy that somebody might pay for.
And that's what you would do, though? I know 110 is fine. I'm just trying to find out what you would do.
Let me take a look here quick, actually.
The tough part is this year, I underestimated it, I guess. But man, after those, you know, those for sure guys that maybe you like, man, the talent drops off in you know what I mean? Like that mid-second, you're just like, oh, dang. Like this might be one of those years where like you package up your second and your first and you move up so you get one of the guys you actually like. So you don't have to have
in a one quarterback for sure.
Yeah.
So in a one quarterback league, DTC actually has the value at 109 for Trevor Lawrence. Right ahead of Rondell Moore.
Cool.
Which I think you can make a case for either. I think 110, 111 is reasonable. I think Terrace can sneak into that, maybe 111 for me for Lawrence, but I'd rather take Lawrence over a guy like Gainwell, Hubbard, St. Brown,
Wallace,
Moore, right. Wallace. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
And that's part of it too, is like just getting guys that, I mean, he's a little insulated, like his value isn't going to fall off likely for a couple of years, even if he's bad. You know what I mean? There's still Sam Darnold truthers out there. You know what I mean? Like, you can't play any worse. And that's even in single, you probably could flip him and get a third, you know? So versus like, let's say Gainwell's just horrible, then like he's going to have no value. You know what I mean? In a couple of years. So there's another
part. So just to kind of round out the one quarterback discussion, we could probably talk about some of the other quarterbacks that would go later in the draft, mm-hmm. like rookie draft, second rounders. But my take, I'd probably go Trevor Lawrence closer to the 109, then I'd be more comfortable with that than Izzy would be. And I just think that if he hits big, you know, like an Andrew Luck or something like that, then I feel like I think he has the greatest chance to return his value. And if I can't trade him, that's fine. I'll keep him and start him, you know, especially like we talked about different situations. Like if I need a quarterback, I think it's great. I'll take him at 109.
Okay. But let's say Trevor Lawrence ends up being, let's say Josh Allen. What is somebody paying in a one quarterback league for Josh Allen?
I think right around that, mid to late first.
I don't know. I'm asking you guys because I haven't been in one quarterback league for a while, but I'd be surprised if it climbed into the top half of the first round.
What's the calculator say? Let's just use that as a. I mean,
yeah, he's in
this tool. Yeah,
the mid first range.
Yeah, mid to late first. I think a mid first would be wishful, you know. I don't think somebody's going to pay that, but I think late first is very reasonable.
Okay. So you're basically drafting Lawrence to, if he hits the absolute peak, Mahomes is unreasonable because Mahomes doesn't come around very often. So we can't just assume that. So you're looking at trying to get three spots in the first round type of value increase, but where's the floor is so much deeper than that. Whereas
yeah, but there's a lot of other factors too. There's insulation. Like who are my other options at that pick? And what's their range of outcomes?
I think Rondell Moore and Terrace Marshall, I mean, those guys have a higher range of upside outcome.
Yeah, and a one quarterback, I agree with that.
But a way lower floor.
Way lower floor.
Oh, yeah, sure. But if you take Trevor Lawrence and he hits and you already have a quarterback, does he really – the value to you even isn't even that great.
Injuries, like, bye weeks.
Sure.
Suspensions. If you want to move your top guy,
yeah,
I don't know. I love that. The depth is a big part of me. I think especially with an expanded season, another game, injuries, which we've seen all this stuff happen. I value depth almost more than studs, which I know a lot of people don't, but when people get suspended, look at Deshaun Watson right now. If you had Lawrence behind Watson, now you're good. You're fine.
Yeah.
But prior to you thought you were all good.
Yeah, you know what? Part of Dynasty for me is about the allure too. You know, a guy like Trevor Lawrence is super exciting, and I like to watch players on my team, like especially in like my leagues that are not quite as serious. It's fun to have those guys and watch them play week to week. So like that's definitely a part of it. I'm kind of glamored by the prospect. So I apologize. I have prospect glamour. That's a syndrome. PGS.
It's called watching highlight tapes. I'm sorry, hashtag grinding films, as some people call it.
Grinding highlights. Welcome to another episode of Grinding Highlights.
Be a great show.
It would be pretty good. So maybe, Waylon, do you want to take us through some of the later selected quarterbacks? Like at what point in your one quarterback leagues would you start to consider a Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, Mac Jones, stuff like that?
I would probably take, Marshall, Moore. At least, and then if I really liked one of those other guys, and then I would probably take the second quarterback that I liked. So I would say probably in that one quarterback format, probably thinking 202 or 203 is probably when I would start thinking of the next quarterback, because honestly, running backs, it's Gainwell and Carter, and we're not taking another tight end, I don't think, before another quarterback, in my opinion. No. Because that's while they could, but what are the odds that another one of those tight ends is going to be a top 8 dynasty tight end? Very low would be my guess, but the odds that this quarterback could be useful are going to be higher. So that's kind of what you're weighing, honestly.
Yeah. Wilson is your 2, right?
He's my 2 NFL quarterback, but Fields might be my number 2 fantasy.
Okay. So do you think kind of the same thought process doesn't work with Lawrence and Fields then, with the same, because Fields has a very high ceiling as well. He could be a top 10 dynasty quarterback relatively mm-hmm. easily. I mean, it's mm-hmm. not other. So if you're taking Trevor Lawrence at 110, why couldn't you justify 111, 112 with the same thought process for Fields?
You could, but I would probably, because I think the floor isn't there as much, I would probably take those next 2 receivers, maybe 3 receivers, and then I would.
Sure. I'm with it.
Izzy, what about you? How early are you going quarterback? I know that you said you're not in any more 1 QB leagues, but...
Yeah, I mean, you guys got to get out of your 1 quarterback. If you're listening to this show and you're in a 1 quarterback league, get out.
Why?
It's just not... I tried and true with this, the quarterback is the most important position in football. They shouldn't be the least important position in fantasy.
But you can play any league you want to play in.
No, but just it's not. It's so.
Why not play in 2 tight end leagues, Izzy? We're just degrading tight ends.
I'm okay with that.
I'm just saying you can play whatever. I mean, people are like,
I like premium leagues. I like following the NFL in terms of the value of the player relative to NFL standards. What is the most valuable position? Should be the quarterback, so that should be the most valuable. And that was the kind of the whole idea with fantasy and why it was created. Like, oh, you can be the GM of your own team type of thing, right? When it first came out, like, oh, I can, you know, I'd love to be the GM of my own team. Okay, well, when you do that, you're, what kind of GM is going to be like, well, I'm going to draft a wide receiver, running back before a quarterback. It's just not.
Right.
So but it's like, I'm very just like, I like the concept of quarterback's most important. They should be the most important in fantasy as well.
And I can respect that too, but like, you know, people are, they're so like anti-kickers and like whatever else. It's like, dude, if you're in whatever league that you're in, let's just imagine this. Let's say we were in leagues that was start two kicker and the scoring was really high. I bet you all of us would invest in research so much more into kickers, but we don't. We act like it's like just such a like, who knows? You know what I mean? But if they actually mattered a bunch, I bet you we would research them harder than we would all of these other positions.
Yeah, but it's just like, not.
Man, so how strong are their legs? Okay, man, so they're way better with accuracy here. Hey, they do way better with good weather versus bad weather versus grass. We would be so researched into kickers, but we don't. So in the end, play in the leagues that you like, right? Izzy likes this. You play in leagues that you like, but if you put the time in, you'll find little niches within the strategy to be successful. But
yeah, it's up to you. So the thing is with this, it's like, if you have super flex leagues, there's just way more ways to construct a team. Like just different strategies. The rookie drafts are more exciting because quarterbacks go in different times. Some go really high, some fall. It's just, it adds, who doesn't want more high-end assets that you can move? There's more trading. Because at one quarterback leagues, there's quarterbacks really don't move as much, especially relative to superflex leagues. Like people are after those quarterbacks. It just adds more activity in your league with having that superflex league versus a one quarterback. So I get what you're saying. Yeah, of course, play in any league that you want. But I don't know anybody, and you may feel differently. And Hurley may too. I don't know anybody that plays in a superflex league and a one quarterback league that likes one quarterback over superflex.
I mean, sometimes though, those leagues just become so quarterback driven that people just hog the quarterbacks and makes it unfun as well.
Mm-hmm. Should have got a quarterback.
So I'm going to show you this, Izzy. So in this same league that I'm talking about, okay, I did trade for quarterbacks and it made a difference for me. So last year with the rookie draft, I traded. Don't want to go into details, whatever, people forgot the league. I traded Dwayne Haskins and Big Ben and a pick, like a third, to get Josh Allen. Now, again, I did this.
Why would anybody do that?
What?
In a one quarterback league?
One quarterback.
Why would anybody do that?
Josh Allen didn't break out yet. Josh Allen didn't break out yet.
Yeah, but who?
Big Ben was still putting up big numbers.
Haskins was still a starter.
Last year?
Yeah. Going into last year?
I mean, I guess I don't understand why you need Haskins and Big Ben in a one quarterback league.
But people don't think Josh Allen was going to be that good either. So like, okay, well, I get this and I get a rookie pick. And then I flipped Drew Brees in the pick to get Jared Goff. So I did all of that. And those were thirds. So I gave up. It wasn't like an eighth round pick. Like thirds are okay, right?
Are they? In a one quarterback league? Those are more like fourth round picks. And in a superflex league, fourth round picks are, you kind of flush them. You draft and you hope that they hit.
Okay.
Well, and at best, you're getting like a Myles Gaskin, right?
Well, but also you could hit on that, and that's a bit.
That's what I'm saying. At best, you're getting a Myles Gaskin. That's the hope, and you're looking at a 20% chance of getting a player.
But Jared Goff in a one correctly, how much value does he have? You already said this earlier. That's like,
yeah, I don't
nothing. So, anyways, yeah. but those having the quarterback position helped my team immensely in a one correct league. So I do get traded.
Yeah. Anywho, okay, we should get more one quarterback leagues. There you go.
Well, no, I'm just saying you play what you want. Yeah. So let's talk to Superflex. So this is the other part of the conversation I wanted to get to, because I play in those as well. Is so does your strategy change if you have, you know, no really good quarterbacks? If you have one or two, does it change how you would draft your quarterbacks within your Superflex rookie drafts?
Let's go down the line, because this is, I think all three of us might be in each of those individual scenarios. So like, Izzy, go ahead. So like, let's say we'll start with the first one. You have no good quarterbacks on your roster. Like maybe you just had a startup last year, you faded quarterback, and you're sitting with the need. What are you doing in your rookie draft here now?
Drafting quarterback.
All right, let's go to the next one.
But hold on. But no,
how high is early?
As soon as possible.
Are you desperately trading up? Are you trading all your assets to get one?
Let's say you have one. I'll give you a specific scenario because we can all assume that T-Law is going 101. Sure. And the vast majority of Superflex leagues, depending on, you know, something crazy happening, like an Ex Machina type of thing. But you have a 102, you have a quarterback need. T-Law goes 101. You're definitely going quarterback at 102?
No, if I'm desperate at quarterback, I'm probably going to trade down to like 104, try to trade down to 104, pick up some equity, see what happens. Cause I'm not, for me, I think with the way it is now, we don't know where landing spots are, but all four quarterbacks are pretty close for me. Like you can make a case for, I'm okay with somebody having Mac Jones at two. I'm okay with somebody having Wilson at two, Fields at two, Lance at two. I'm okay with any of that. I can see a scenario where all four of those could have, somebody can have them at two.
So all your trades, all your offers are rejected. You have 102. You're okay with taking a quarterback at one. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, yeah, 1,000%.
Okay. And your guy is going to be Zach at this point, Fields at this point?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know where they land. Yeah. Okay. But if Fields goes three to San Fran, it'll be Fields. I'm not a big Wilson guy. And if he goes to the Jets, I don't want him at 102, but I would draft whichever quarterback I like the landing spot most at 102.
Okay. I mean, Waylon, it sounds like you might have a little bit more meat on the bones as far as this conversation goes. So like, what are you doing differently?
Well, to me, I mean, like if I don't have that good quarterback, I might be desperate to get one. You know what I mean? Cause the value is just there where I might be trading off other assets or picks to make sure I get T-Law. If it's the second or third quarterback, because there's going to be variance in terms of who people like and who people don't like, that might change it a little bit in terms of strategy. But I mean, if you don't have quarterbacks in Superflex, you're not going to have a chance generally.
If you're sitting
depending on the scoring,
if you're sitting at 102 and you don't have two reliable quarterbacks, you should be trading the 102 and try to get two firsts in that like 106, 108 range, 109 range, and then grab the two quarterbacks that fall. Because two quarterbacks will fall in the 107 to 110 range, maybe farther. I mean, that should be the decision every single time.
I mean, I agree. That's pretty specific, though. Like, number one, you got to hope a team has those two picks. And number two, you got to hope that somebody is not on, you know, doesn't understand that there's just like this long, flat tier.
No, but people want the 102. The 102 is still highly valuable. I mean, significantly more valuable. They don't understand. You make it seem like that's the case. But when you're sitting on the clock and you're looking at, 110, 109, you're still worried that you're not going to be able to get, there's still a top tier guys. Like you get the higher end guys that people want. Sure. The Batemans and the Smiths and the, you know, Waddles of the world, the Williamses, those are great, but people want the Harrises and the Chases and the Lawrences and the Fields right now in the Pittses. That's what they want right now. So I think the 102 could definitely get you two of those 108s to 111s, and you can get two quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm. Right. And what if their team, what if that team has two reliable quarterbacks? You know what I mean? Then maybe they're like, yep, I'm more game to move down, you know, versus let's say it's Izzy and he has no high quarterbacks and he's desperate. You know, you have to play your league. Every league's different. But here's the other thing I want to talk about. So I joined a league last year that is a big money league. I mean, it's $200 buy-in every year. And it's super flex. And I did not go quarterback heavy. Because when I looked at the scoring, it didn't dictate that. So I had like Baker and Baker and Goff and Bridgewater and Foles and whatever. Those are like my quarterbacks. People are like, right? But let me tell you the scoring though. So look at this. So out of the top 21 scores from 2020, only 10 were quarterbacks in Superflex. Normally that's not the case, right? So that again, you still have to dictate what is you know, the highest scoring guys, because again, points equal wins. So maybe if the league isn't as high scoring for quarterbacks, maybe you wouldn't be as desperate, like Izzy is saying. Maybe you would move down in that one because you'd want the higher scoring guys if running backs, receivers, tight ends did score a lot.
Hmm. percent of your top quarterback is still pretty high. I mean,
oh, it is. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's very, like, some of these questions, Hurley, are very specific to roster construction and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
I guess the overall gist of my, how I do things is very related to, as soon as I draft that player, where does my ceiling floor go? And my trading partners increase significantly and my value insulation increases significantly if I draft a first round quarterback. Specifically a first round quarterback.
Yeah, I agree.
Because like Nick was saying earlier with Darnold, you can still get a first round pick for him. And he hasn't done shit in 3 years.
Yeah.
So, well, Daniel Jones, he's been okay. Guarantee you can still get a first round pick for him late first.
Yeah.
So as long as the quarterback, even Trubisky, who is shit, you could have gotten for the first 3 years, you still could have gotten a first round pick. And I've seen it. I've done it. So I just don't see the downside of drafting a quarterback. You get to find out if they're a stud, and if they're not, you can still get a first round pick. Yeah. Why wouldn't you? Well, like, haven't found out why not.
Well, look at Herbert. That's another one. You know what I mean? Like, he's a guy that people generally didn't love going into last year, and he turned out to be a stud. You know, that's the Daniel Jones is the floor, or Trubisky's the floor, and Herbert's the ceiling. Yeah, on the guys that people don't like.
Well, think about this. And this goes to, like, letting the Trey Lances fall to the back half of the first round, letting the Mac Joneses fall to the back half of the first round. 2017, Watson and Mahomes. So I brought this up on a show. There's 10 dynasty quarterbacks right now that are kind of our studs, right? And let's not even go with that. Let's go with the youngest nine guys. We'll leave Russell Wilson and Rodgers out because they're a little bit older. So Burrow, Watson, Lawrence, Prescott, Lamar, Herbert, Murray, Allen, Mahomes. That's nine. So Dak Prescott was a second round dynasty pick in Superflex leagues. He wasn't going in the first. Kyler Murray and Joe Burrow were the 101s. Then you look at Mahomes and Watson. Both were back half of the first round in 2017. Lamar and Allen were back half in 2018. And then Herbert was back half in 2020. And that's the nine best young quarterbacks right now in Dynasty. And then you have Baker, who's still going for a first round pick. He was the 101 to 103 early first, Tua early first. But all these guys still have significant value. Even Jalen Hurts now, second round pick, has value.
I was reading this kind of blurb on GMs and whether people trade up or trade down, real NFL GMs. And Baltimore, I think, has been a team that's been very good for a very long time, just consistently over a long period of time. And they've been the most apt to trade down, I believe. And the quote was really cool. And it was just like, you know, we don't know if these guys are going to hit or not. We hope we know, but we don't. So if I get more shots, right, at the target, the better odds I'm going to hit. And that's kind of how we should play this. You know, it's like the more shots I get at a quarterback in a super flex league or everything else, it's worth it. Now, again, I think there's tiers and there's trading within tiers, and I get that part of it. You know what I mean? But in the end, we don't know. We don't know 100% sure who's going to hit, who's not going to hit. But playing the value game, which is what we normally talk about on here, gives you more shots at doing well in your leagues.
Right. And you bring up a good point. We don't know. So that's why you take quarterback. So let's do this exercise real quick. 2020, Burrow, Tua, Herbert. Those are the first round quarterbacks. Oh, and Jordan Love. So Jordan Love was a second round. So let's talk about the quarterbacks that were drafted in the first round. And we can mention Jordan Love because he was a first rounder, but it's kind of those rare instances where first rounder, but end up being a second round dynasty super flex pick. But Joe Burrow, Tua, Justin Herbert all still have first round value, obviously. You look at 2019, the first round quarterbacks taken, Kyler Murray, Daniel Jones, Dwayne Haskins. Daniel Jones and Kyler Murray still have first round value. Dwayne Haskins no longer does, but last year he still did after having a completely shitty 2019. So you got a free roll season. You still got a first round pick out of him. 2018, you had Baker, Darnold, Allen, Rosen, Lamar. The only one 3 years later that doesn't have value is Josh Rosen. The other four do. And Sam Darnold has been a complete and utter disappointment, and he's getting you first-round value. So the other three have significant, two of them have significant value, elite high-end value, and one of them still has really, really high value, which is Baker.
Well, but also even Rosen, multiple times after not doing well as a rookie, you still could get your ROI.
Yes. Yep. Yep. Because he was kind of that mid to late first-round pick.
Wait until they get to give him a chance, you know, that whole talk.
Yep. 2017, you got Trubisky, Mahomes, Watson. Once again, two of them are elite, and one of them, Mitch, was a disappointment, but you had 2 to 3 years to get your return on investment back. And then now, obviously, 2017, 2018, and then part of, you still had a chance at 2019, but after that, it was done. And then you look at 2016, Goff and Wentz. Oh, and then Paxton Lynch late in the first. But Paxton, once again, he wasn't a first-round superflex pick. But Goff and Wentz, once again, had long history of first-round value. And technically, you can still get first-round picks for him.
Are you sure Lynch didn't go in the first round and superflex start rookie?
I don't think he did. He might have.
By your theory, he should have.
So let's add him in. So Paxton Lynch. That's totally fine. You look at 2015, Mariota and Winston had first round value for a very long time. So, I mean, you look at the last 6 years here, that's massive. You'd have to go back to like 2013 to where you had EJ Manuel, who didn't really have much of, he kind of never really had a chance. You never really could have traded him the year later for anything.
Yeah, unless he did it right away.
But before then, it was the same story. You're getting really good value insulation. So over the last 6 years, and we're talking like 20-ish quarterbacks drafted in the first round, you're really only looking at Paxton Lynch and Jordan Love.
We have to put Rosen in there.
And Rosen as the only quarterbacks out of all of those that you couldn't have gotten.
And you said
an
EJ.
ROI after 2 years.
He did. Yeah.
Did you say EJ, Paxton,
no,
and Rosen?
No, I didn't say EJ because he was like 8 years ago.
Okay.
I said Paxton, Blake Bortles in 2014, Johnny Manziel, Teddy Bridgewater, all could have returned first round mm-hmm. value 2 years mm-hmm. later. EJ Manuel in 2013, doesn't work. Andrew Luck, RG3, Tannehill, 2012. You look at 2011, Cam Newton, Jake Locker, Blaine Gabbert, Christian Ponder. I don't remember how many years you could have gotten first round value for Ponder or Gabbert. I think Gabbert had a little bit longer shelf life than Ponder because Gabbert had multiple chances where Ponder didn't.
Ponder was just always the starter for a couple of years.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember. I mean, 10 years ago, it's hard to remember, but that's the decade.
Yeah, and I don't know that Superflex wasn't extremely popular at that point either, so that's kind of hard to say.
Makes it tough. But the moral of the story is you get a free season. Basically, you're almost guaranteed a free season unless your name is EJ Manuel.
Like 90%.
Yes, over 90% that you get one free season to see what you have at quarterback and you can still get a first round pick in return.
And then even if you don't like flip them, you're still sitting at about a 60% hit rate, right?
For 2 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the insulation is ridiculous. So at the end of the day, if you're stuck and you don't know who to pick and you're torn, you can't trade down. I mean, I just take a quarterback.
Yeah.
So I have two questions here. Left about quarterbacks. One is, okay, so you mentioned Jordan Love, which we know Aaron Rodgers is there this year starting. But after this year, he could not be the starter. Potentially, they could trade him away. By them not trying to restructure his deal to create more cap room when they had terrible cap room issues, and they have way worse cap room issues actually next year, it makes you wonder if they're going to trade him after the year. With that being said, is now the time to trade and cheaply acquire Jordan Love in Superflex leagues?
Well, definitely, yeah. He doesn't have a ton of value. I don't think anybody would expect a first round. Would you be able to get him for a second round pick in Superflex leagues? I wouldn't give a first for him.
Oh, dude, without a doubt.
Yeah. So it'd have to be a second. So I'd say yes.
So trade a second. I mean, he's going to start at some point. They have to. Just by pure ego, he has to be a starter at some point.
Yeah, and if you're right, if not in Green Bay, it could be somewhere else.
Well, there was rumors that he'd get traded. I think there's the Patriots rumors not too long ago.
Mm-hmm. Every quarterback is always linked to the Patriots. Exactly. I love it.
So that was the first one. And then here's my other question is, let's say you have two of those nine young studs that Izzy had named off in Superflex leagues. How important is that third quarterback? You know, we talk about this ROI. Do you still go quarterback again, even if you have two really good guys?
I always do.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So really focusing on those, to me, it would depend on again, the format. Like I said, some of these other ones where I can maybe have a positional player where they're going to get a ton of points versus an injury, bye week, filler, whatever. But generally I would.
Yeah.
Because you can trade off and get something else better later, potentially.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I've done that. In one league, I traded Watson for Michael Thomas and George Kittle. That's a good ROI even right now.
Yeah. So Waylon, just to go a little bit more in depth with your question, I always, if I can't have a bunch of stud quarterbacks, which is, you know, very likely in a lot of leagues, I like to operate under the paradigm where I like to have a veteran stud that doesn't carry a ton of value. So like Aaron Rodgers is a good example. A young stud, like a Herbert, that would be, you know, really nice. And then like a project quarterback, like a young project quarterback, like a, maybe even like Love, or I'd prefer it to be somebody who's going to get, who's going to be starting. So maybe like a Hurts or somebody like that would be my third project quarterback. I always try to aim for that type of paradigm.
Like a Jones team. Or Darnold even.
Yeah, Jones, Darnold, yeah. Gotcha. Hurts, I think, is good. Even one of these like lower tier rookie quarterbacks, like if I can get a Trey Lance later on, I think he would be a great third project quarterback with, you know, the ceiling that he's got. So that's what I always strive for usually in my super flex leagues personally. How about you guys? Do you have a, obviously the goal is to have Mahomes, you know, Herbert, like all of the studs on your team. But if you like, do you have like a paradigm or like a mold that you typically try to fit with different names?
To me, it would depend on my team. So like, let's say I had two of those young studs and I had a win now team, which you would think if you had two of those, you probably would be within Superflex. I might have an old vet as the backup, because if those positions are that valuable, if an injury happens, a suspension happens, even a bye week, those are huge weeks. People don't, like bye weeks, you know, when your team's maybe a slightly less, if you can keep that floor high. And let's say I have a Big Ben this year. Big Ben is my third quarterback behind, you know, Mahomes and Allen, let's just say. Okay. He might play twice. He might play more than that. But the drop-off wouldn't be there if I had Jordan Love as my third, you know? But if I did not have that winner right now, then maybe I would go with the young guy. But I think that's something you have to play around with. If you can have a guy to fill in those times, that's going to help out and keep your team elite, because those wins could help you with having a bye week, which is one less chance of you losing and not getting that championship.
Yeah. I guess I'm just always trying to have a pipeline to replace my vet. And it's always like a fruition type of thing. You know, they always move up. Izzy, do you ever have like a script that you try to follow for the quarterback position in your Superflex leagues?
No, I just want to make sure I have them. It's just every team I look at and decide which direction I'm going to go, I always start to make sure that I have the quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And then if I see my running backs and wide receivers, I'm like, I'll figure that out later. I'm never worried about the other positions.
That's funny. I do the opposite. I always use the draft to fill my quarterback position, the rookie draft, because that's the best spot to do it.
I'll just draft the quarterback thing. But you look at guys like, you can get, it's so hard. You can't find the Mike Davises, the McKissicks, the Nyheim Hineses, the Myles Gaskins. Those four guys all finish as RB2s and they're free. You're not finding free quarterbacks. It's just not happening.
So I mean, you are, but I get
Jeffrey Wilson finished in the top 30. Gio Bernard finished in the top 30. Chase Edmonds finished in the top 30. David Johnson, 21. And you could have had him for next to nothing.
Hey, so it's just like, is he Tom Brady and Kurt Warner happened? Okay.
Yeah, James Robinson, free agent.
It never happened.
So it's just like, I don't know. I just don't. I get it. Running backs are great. but I can find them. I can fill them. They're easily, they're more attainable. I can get them out of free agency. I can get them for cheap for fourth and third round picks. I can get handcuffs that end up producing. Wide receivers, same thing. There's so many that I can plug in. Unless you have a top five, six receiver, the rest of them are interchangeable on a week-to-week basis. Matchup dependent. You can get big production out of, you know, the 30th, 40th ranked receiver, just like you can get one out of the 15th ranked receiver. Yeah. So it's like, that's kind of why I've always faded receiver in rookie drafts. So I'm okay with somebody taking a running back instead of a quarterback in super flex leagues. Cause there's a little bit more value insulation. People are always just after running backs. They're always they're kind of like the fantasy king, even though super flex leagues, it's still quarterbacks. People still love their running backs. With wide receivers, they're more likely to lose value. They're harder to hit in value. When they hit, it's great, but give me the quarterback and running back and the receiver, I'll figure out later. Even if I draft one late in the first round and they don't hit, I can get one later. Like, yeah. I just don't understand drafting the receiver so early. At the end of the day, too, if you draft a running back, that's amazing. You draft a receiver, that's amazing. It doesn't matter if you took them over a quarterback because you hit. And I think that's what people get fixated on. Well, you could have drafted this guy versus this guy. Sure. But if you look at and I do this all the time. I look at over the last decade, what position is going to give me the most ROI? What's going to give me the best hit rate? And what's going to give me the best value insulation? And it was without a doubt, quarterback, then running back, then wide receiver.
There you go. All right, you guys. So last question for both of you before we convert into final thoughts with Nick Whalen. This is the final one, unless you guys got some additional nuggets you want to add to the podcast here. But I haven't seen anybody asking this question yet. So since we're kind of on this theme that Whalen brought up of there's just a lot of quarterbacks. It's five deep. It hasn't happened for a few years. And this might even be bigger hitting than the Darnold year that we just talked about with Lamar and Josh Allen and stuff. But do you guys foresee future rookie drafts like 2022 and 23 years after being impacted by how heavy this draft was with quarterbacks, similar to like what we saw in 2014 with all the wide receivers, Odell Beckham Jr. And maybe even like, this is like a two-part question. So last year, all the wide receivers hitting, does that impact this draft? So like, I want to see what you guys think about drafts going forward with how heavy quarterback this is. And then maybe this year's draft with how heavy wide receiver ended up being last year.
Are you referencing because there's going to be less spot starting spots available? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. So you remember in 2014, a lot of people started Dynasty around then. And in years after, like 2015, 2016, there were a ton of people overdrafting wide receivers. This is kind of like why Izzy kind of landed on his draft strategy of never drafting wide receivers. But a lot of people overdrafted wide receivers after 2014, expecting them all to hit like that. That was the first year that it didn't take 3 years to develop a wide receiver. Now, this draft, there's five quarterbacks. There hasn't been a lot of drafts that have had this many first round quarterbacks. Do you see this changing the face of future rookie drafts?
Well, of course, yeah, because I think generally the public is sheep and they follow the newest trend. And yeah, after that 2014, it was, the youth heavy movement and then the savvy dynasty vets, which Hurley, I was playing 10 years before that, would trade rookie picks or young players to get established veterans. And like, then they just continually won. I do think that's what it is. And so you need to ebb and flow with what works. I took your question initially as, are there less spots in the NFL? Like, are NFL teams going to change how they think because of quarterbacks, or is it going to influence guys to come out of the, if they're draft eligible? That's how I thought you were going with it. But yeah, I absolutely think it's going to change things. It always does. But it's going to be dependent on rookie classes and hype. And that's why I think looking at ADP and looking at what's going on Twitter matters. I mean, when a player gets hyped, you need to know because it's going to affect how your other owners draft them in rookie drafts.
So Izzy, same question. Years from now, do you think this draft is going to change the face of how quarterbacks are being drafted in Superflex leagues because of how many there are?
No. I really don't think so. I mean, that was the case, the Baker, 2018.
It was 3 years ago, yeah, you said. So it would have been
2018.
Should be 2018, yeah.
Yeah, so 2018. there's five, and that didn't change. There's always going to be a need for quarterback in the NFL. There's less and less, if you look at the landscape of teams needing quarterbacks, there's less and less of them where you're like, okay, they definitely need a quarterback. But there's still a handful of spots every single year where a team needs a quarterback. And I think that'll be indefinite. I can't ever imagine an NFL where all 32 teams have a reliable quarterback. It's just not going to happen for a variety of reasons, injuries, players retiring, and the fact that it's really damn difficult to find a reliable quarterback. So I think there's always going to be a need for quarterback. I don't think this draft is going to change. You bring up a good point, because a lot of dynasty players started after 2014. And Hurley, Nick, and I mean, we've been playing dynasty well before 2014, and we've always known receivers to take 3 years. You always got to wait 3 years. And Hurley's right. The 2014 class changed that. And now it's, if you don't produce for me now, like, I'm moving you. And I feel like with quarterbacks, there's always been a need for it. So I don't think any sort of draft class is going to change the fact that quarterbacks have gone off. So now we got to start drafting quarterbacks. The proof is in the pudding. We've had a decade of proof to say that quarterbacks are going to give you the highest insulation and the highest potential to hit and have high end value. And people still are letting quarterbacks fall.
So then a second part of that. So I agree with you. I think you're right. The quarterback probably will never change. But do you see like maybe this new wave of dynasty players coming in? Are like, do we have like a revival of 2014 from how heavy the wide receiver position hit last year? Even like wide receivers that are being drafted late first, early second, into the second, were hitting big. Does this change how people are going to draft rookie wide receivers in 2021 in their leagues?
You think the fact that 2020 was hit so well?
Yeah.
No, I think it just comes down to the fact that the running back class is so weak relative to the receiving class. Where we've talked about this before, I can see six receivers being the best wide receiver in this class. I can see it. Where with running backs, you're only looking at three. But if there were six great running backs, you're going to see more running backs in the first round than receivers. So it's just certain years provide different positional value at the top. So I don't necessarily think that the fact that now the wide receiver position is littered at the first round mark in 2021, I don't think that's due to 2020. I think that's just due to the fact that there's not that many viable running backs.
Sure. That makes sense. Well, cool. I'm just interested to see, like, because there are some pretty heavy anomalies in the past, last year and this year with quarterbacks. I'm curious to see if that impacts things, but I agree. Well, I don't think quarterback will change much.
People jump in. So Dynasty is growing so quickly. And people are getting into it, and it's always a learning process for people that are jumping from fantasy football to Dynasty, and most will make the jump to Dynasty into Superflex. So they're going from regular fantasy one quarterback diving into Dynasty, thrown into a Superflex league. And the vast majority of new Dynasty players in Superflex always fade quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's natural.
Because they've never thought about drafting them. So it's like the new blood that comes in will always draft running back and wide receivers until 2 or 3 years down the road and they realize, shit, I can't get a quarterback to save my life. And then they end up converting into, okay, I'm drafting quarterback. So it like takes like this 2 to 3 year lag for everybody to kind of like get it. It's like the christening, you know?
Yep. There you go. I think that's pretty well rounded. I think now is the time where you can pull out your water pick. Set the setting to low. Let's go to a nice low speed on your water pick. Let's not, you know, blast the enamel off your teeth. Calm it down a little bit. Maybe light up some candles. I like the lavender scent candles. That always calms me down. So, because now it's time for final thoughts with Nick Whalen.
Rookie drafts are right around the corner, and rookie drafts are always so much fun. There's always the hype. You know, people always want the rookie picks. I think you guys can gain value by being near your phone, near your computer, and monitoring all of these rookie drafts. So you have to establish a consensus of what, you know, most people are doing. But by doing some research and seeing who you think other owners in your league are going to take and being open to trading, trading down, trading up. Sometimes guys don't like anyone that's there. So you could trade up for potentially cheaper, maybe using a calculator like the Dynasty Trade Calculator, but also in terms of trading down. If there's multiple guys that you like, don't be afraid to move down because guys are desperate. They fell in love with the highlights from one guy and they have to have this guy, or this guy's on their favorite team. I mean, it wasn't too long ago that, you know, Mecole Hardman and, you know, Paris Campbell moved up into the first and people loved them because of their situation. So don't be afraid to move down. The name of the game is value, and always being aware and available to talk trades in your rookie drafts is going to get you more value.
There you go. There you have it. And that is episode number 205 in the books. Thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you check out the website, like Waylon said, dynastytradecalculator.com. Not just the calculator. If you're the type that likes those value sheets too, like those trade value spreadsheets instead of a calculator tool, our rankings page has each value listed out for each player, depending on whatever setting you choose. You can download it, you can print it, whatever you want, as long as you have a subscription. For as little as $3, you have all these tools at your fingertips. If you're one of those new Dynasty players, like Izzy mentioned, joining the realm, make sure you sign up for a subscription, dynastytradecalculator.com. Thank you for listening. We will do this again next week. Bye. Oh, yeah.